each of you out this morning. Good to see this number present to study together as we worship the Lord. Good to have some visiting with us. Good to have the Johnsons with us and the Clarks. Every time you're here, it thrills us, and we appreciate you being here this morning. Good to see Sister Renee back and others. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll be turning to the Gospel of Luke in the 24th chapter, we'll begin there in just a moment. While you're getting settled, we want you to know that we considered our guests to be honored, and we want each and every one to know that if I teach something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you find I've taught something wrong, if you'll show me my error, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Travis has suggested. And if you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Christ as the Son of God and be immersed for the remission of sins. In Luke 24, begin reading with me at verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 8. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day risen again.' And they remembered his words." Then, if you would, kindly look with me in the book of Matthew and the 28th chapter. And in Matthew chapter 8, we just want to read the first two verses. In Matthew 28, verses 1 and 2. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. When Jesus died upon Calvary's cross, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, you recall that there was a great earthquake. On death day, the day that Jesus died, the earthquake when Christ yielded his soul back to the Father. And that earthquake, no doubt, was one of awe as the God-man died upon the tree of Calvary. But on resurrection morning, we read of another earthquake. And this disturbance of the earth was one of joy as Christ had been resurrected and death received its death blow. Emotions can be very unstable when an individual is spinning in a great earthquake or when the earth shakes. So imagine the women's reaction when the earth shakes below them again. And this time in Matthew's gospel, you'll find that the reason the earth is shaking is that the angel of God is removing the obstacles so the women could get into the tomb. These women will be the first to witness the grave that was empty of a body, but only the grave clothes laid behind. And there's only one angel mentioned in Matthew's account, but two in Luke and John. It's presumed that perhaps Matthew is just focusing on the angel that is speaking. But many times people try to take that and say there's inconsistencies between the gospel accounts. But if you take a pencil and paper in a few minutes, you can reconcile all the gospel accounts. With that in mind, I want us to look at the women who were last at the cross, but the first at the tomb, as we examine the resurrection morning. We begin a series of three lessons this morning, and that is on resurrection day. And we want to look at the resurrection morning. Then, Lord willing, next week we'll look at resurrection afternoon. And then, the following, we'll look at resurrection evening. But for our time this morning, I want us to examine the first resurrection day, mainly using as our text Luke 24 and the other accounts to get a picture of that Sunday when Christ arose from the grave. And we want to look at the tomb he left empty, save his grave clothes, and those that were there that resurrection morning. The first thing I want us to put in our mind is that these women who were the first at the cross, in Matthew 28 says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They were the ones that you can read about in Matthew 27 and verse 61. Notice in Matthew 27 and verse 61, and Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. That was on death day. That was on Friday. After Jesus had been crucified upon the cross, and they brought the body of Jesus down, as darkness begins to descend in the Sabbath evening, which begins at 6 p.m., Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had buried the body in Joseph's new tomb. And it appears the men leave, but the women sat opposite the tomb. It was as if they couldn't bear to leave the body of Jesus. They had to be home before the Sabbath hour, as was the law. And I've often thought about that is how Friday ends with the two Marys. They were the last at the cross. They were the last at the tomb. They left because they had to be home for the Sabbath day, and you could feel their heart breaking as they leave the tomb of Jesus and go back to their homes for the Sabbath. And I've often tried to get that picture in my mind, how those women loved Jesus and the sense of loss they suffered, and how they must have felt that silent Sabbath Saturday, how grief must have filled their heart because of the death of the one they loved so much. Can you get the picture in your mind how they must have spent that Sabbath thinking about Jesus? They had lingered as long as they could at the cross. They had lingered as long as they could at the tomb. And they were the last to leave, heartbroken, grief-stricken, sobbing with tears. They head home because Jesus was dead. But then if you take your Bible in Matthew 28, notice they're the first to come to the tomb. Notice on resurrection morning, on Sunday, that they get up and they're the first to come to the tomb. They're the last to be there, and they're the first to arrive on resurrection morning. And when they get to the tomb, in Matthew's account, the earth quakes. Can you imagine the fear in their heart as the earth quaked beneath them? And this time, when the earth quaked, notice that there was, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord that had descended and rolled back the stone of the door and sat on it. And in Luke's account, notice there are two angels, and that's important, and we'll make a reference to that later in our study. But notice that there they are to recognize that Jesus is not in the grave. And no doubt it was a day of confusion and frantic excitement. In verse 2, it says that they hurried away from the tomb to go tell others that Jesus had been raised from the grave. I've often thought about, verse 8, they rushed back to tell others. And I want you to think about what they must have felt like when they recognized that Jesus was no longer in the tomb, but he had been raised. You ever stop to think about the fact you can't stop Jesus? Oh, you can try. For those people that wanted him dead on Saturday, everything seemed over. Jesus, the troublemaker, was buried. The guard was posted. The tomb was sealed. The disciples are scattered. Everything seems to be done. It appears this movement of Jesus is over with. And they can go back to business as usual. And I imagine the enemies of Jesus cheerfully retiring to bed Friday and Saturday night, thinking they had gotten rid of themselves of this Jesus. But sometime on Sunday morning, something happens. The guards are flattened. The sealed tomb is open. The seal has been broken. The stone has been rolled away. Because neither stone nor seal nor soldiers could keep Jesus in the tomb that day. And shining angels had turned the tomb into a pulpit. And when you look back in Luke 24, notice they say to the woman, "He is not here." Then as a mild rebuke, they say, "He is risen." Just as he said he would. And here begins the fellowship of the resurrection. It doesn't look like much at the beginning. It starts with just a loyal remnant. Women who came to see the body of Jesus, loyalty and love for Jesus brought them to that place early that morning. They could hardly leave on Friday, but now, my friend, they run from the tomb with news that Jesus has been raised. Can you imagine that though they had fear, there was joy to know that Jesus had been resurrected? And that just as he said, it started, my friend, with their loyalty, their perseverance. When everything seemed to have gone sour, there came resurrection morning. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life in the lesson journeys. The first thing I want to point out is so often we miss important events because we're too quick to leave. You ever notice that? There's some people that are so quick to leave because they get upset or because there's some problem or they just want to get away because they're tired of worshiping God. And I see a lot of people who don't persevere. They quit coming to worship. They quit serving God. There's some who I've watched and they're starting to slip right now. They're not attending as they should. And I'll tell you, it doesn't take much for one to leave too early and quit serving God as they should. I see it time and time again. People whose faith should be being built up because they've come to worship God, they've left too soon. Or there's the problem sometimes we miss important events because we show up too late. And I'll tell you something, here were the women that came early that morning. And if you ever thought about the blessing they received because they were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb, that they suffered tears on Saturday, they were able to rejoice on Sunday that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. But secondly, have you ever thought about it only takes a remnant to start a movement? Two women running back to tell the disciples, He is risen just as He said He would. He's not in the grave. And Peter and John run to the grave and they get there and all they see is the grave clothes. Have you ever thought that it only takes a few to start a movement? Sometimes we look at a congregation and they've already got a lot of people and a lot of resources and we think, oh, God must be blessing that work. Not necessarily. Sometimes it takes just a few who have their heart on fire for God to start a movement. People who are loyal, people who love the Lord, people who are not ashamed to say they're His disciples. But the third thing I want us to take away is that when you recognize that Jesus is resurrected from the grave, you can't help but tell others. That is a radical truth. You know why we're here this morning? At least I hope the reason we're here is we believe in the resurrected Christ. If Jesus has not been raised, we're wasting our time. There are people who are looking for the bones of Jesus as we speak. People trying to disprove that He's resurrected. I'll tell you, my friend, they can look and look, and I'll tell you what it should do. It should make them recognize He is raised. He is risen. My faith is in a resurrected Savior. And I'll tell you, when I recognize He's raised, I realize the importance of that. No other religion is founded upon a resurrected Savior. They follow dead men. I don't follow a dead man. I follow a risen Christ. But that brings up a fourth thing I think we need to realize. When they get back to the tomb, you'll remember that they find the grave clothes, and it talks about that the head cloth had been folded. I had read where when a carpenter is done with his work, he would fold a certain cloth a certain way and leave it to show that his work was done. And I can't help but wonder if Jesus didn't fold the cloth and leave it there to show that His work is done, but our work has just begun. To go tell others, He's raised from the dead. He's risen. But I'll tell you the fifth thing I want us to take home this morning. You can't stop Jesus. Oh, you can try. People have been trying for years. Herod tried to kill Him when He was born. The people tried to stone Him in the book of John in the 8th chapter and in John the 10th. They looked at Jesus with hatred. They tried to trap Him. They finally put him upon a cross and they thought they had killed him, and yet he's been raised from the dead. And today people tell lies about him. And today people try to hate his cause, and they try to put down his word, and they mock and belittle just as they mocked and belittled him. And I'll tell you, they think they'll stop Jesus, but no one can stop Jesus. You can't stop his movement. You can't stop his church. You could kill every one of his members, but his disciples march on with their Savior. Jesus cannot be stopped. You know why? He's the Son of God. That is where my hope is rooted, is in a resurrected Christ. And when those women came that morning and the stone was rolled away, they went in and didn't find the body of Jesus. Every one of us should say hallelujah. Because he's raised, one day too, we shall be raised. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if he's not raised, our faith is futile. We're still in our sins. But because he's raised, when we're buried in Christ in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, we're resurrected into a new life for him, hoping that when this life is over, we can be raised to live with him. I live for him so I may live with him. Because he is my Savior. Don't take your eyes off the resurrected Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized into Christ, you can come this morning confessing that he's the Son of God. Or if you've left him, you quit too soon. It's all.